Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
One of the most ominous days in Michigan history took place on May 18, 1927. Although most people think of Virginia Tech or Parkland when hearing the phrase school massacre, Michiganders know that the worst such event in U.S. history happened in the tiny township of Bath. By the time the bloodbath ended, 45 people were dead, and another 58 had sustained injuries.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Luma Mommy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Bath School Bombing. Shoop Kitchen Studio. The mom, the beard, the skeptic, and Red Dead 2019. I said that kind of skeptically. Yeah, am I feeling like Larry these days?
Maybe.
Maybe it's because we've got a fifth guy in the studio. Mr. Andy Shatner. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing, Ryan?
Great.
Host of Beer City Media's latest 80s podcast.
Oh. That's right.
Yes.
Can you, Andy, can you elaborate a bit about that show so people can hear about it?
Yeah, of course. Latest 80s. Actually, it's an idea I've had for some time now, and I've been a DJ for quite a long time. And when I lived in Chicago, I would throw these one-off latest 80s nights at various bars and clubs around the city where I would play new music by, you know, a lot of the alternative and pop 80s artists because, you know, you really didn't hear their stuff on the radio anymore. So I kind of wanted to get that to be a consistent thing, maybe a monthly gig, but, you know, now no club really wanted to kind of invest in that, so it was a little frustrating. So when I moved back to Michigan, I figured, well, why not make it a podcast?
Yeah.
And that way it would be a monthly show, and plus I wouldn't be pigeonholed into playing just dancier tracks by these artists. I could play, you know, whatever type of music I wanted. So that kind of opened it up a little bit more. So once I got back and got things settled, I started doing this podcast, and episode 3 is going to be up tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, very cool.
The whole idea of the show is basically to feature new music by a lot of your favorite 80s artists from the alternative and pop genres, artists that, you know, a lot of people kind of stopped paying attention to, or artists, you know, who people probably thought they just stopped putting out music. So, you know, and also on the show, I kind of talk about, you know, what these groups have been up to lately, and also kind of gives a little bit of the history of these groups because, you know, I want to attract, you know, an audience that might not have been around during the 80s and, you know, it might not know a lot about all these groups. So it's also, you know, a little bit of a history lesson as well.
Cool. I love it. Yeah, I totally highly would recommend this. Any of these shows, and Andy's a very smart dude and he's been part of the network for a while in some facets. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to start a show and do it that way. I appreciate that. And I'm glad to have you on, brother. Okay. So usually when we start every episode, we kind of do a bit of a truth corner. We have to pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road and get real for a second. I'm curious, have you guys, other than me mentioning this tragedy to you guys as possible topic. Have any of you guys, did you, any of you guys know about this? This, the Bath School bombing?
No, I was completely unaware of this. You know, my brother Larry brought it up to me and I was like, really? I'm like, I had no idea this even happened.
And I was unaware when you brought it up, Ryan.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Shoops.
I've only heard about it by name, but that was literally just by name. I didn't know anything really about it or that it was in Michigan. Just a school bombing that happened a long time ago. That was literally it.
Yeah.
I knew that it was in Michigan and that it happened, but I don't know any of the details.
We're going to get into them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Billy.
Just warms the cockles of your heart to hear about this horrendous tragedy. This is the worst school disaster that has ever happened, even today. And we get them, like, literally, you open your phone and CNN's like, shooting happened in blah, 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 which, I mean, you can't necessarily trust because of CNN. But then again, there's enough news networks out there that are, like, kind of backing that claim up. There's a lot of bad things that happen nowadays. And I was listening to a show one day. I had found a show called Most Notorious, and they had a gentleman named Arnie Bernstein who was on promoting a book he wrote called Bath Massacre, America's First School Bombing. And that was one of the main sources for this episode, okay, along with the wiki, which I'll use. But Arnie's on there and he starts telling the story. And it's so well told and so it puts you in the place because they were having, I want to say like 75 or 80 year anniversary of the bombing. And he was there and there was actually still survivors that he interviewed. They're very eloquent and they, to this day, this is in like 2005, 2006, could still very easily tell the story of what happened that day because it just was burned into their memories. So with that being said, 38 children died, 6 adults as well. Also 58 people were injured. So we're talking above 100 people instantly traumatized. And that's just from the effects of the blast. That's not the people that were affected long-term. Like I said, survivors were talking about this at remembrances or times when they all got together. So there was a man involved. Obviously, there's always the guy that goes through the crime, Andrew Kehoe. He was an immigrant. He was also a staunch, kind of friendly, but not. It would be the kind of person who would ask, you would ask to borrow something and then he would ask for you to pay him on top of them taking that item. Mm-hmm. He would till the soil on his farm in a suit. And his tool shed was more immaculate than most 1920s dining rooms were at the time.
Wow. Like
you could walk in and you could probably eat a grilled cheese sandwich off his hoe.
Bubbles could live there.
Right.
Like, okay, I need you to make the table formation. I'm going to put this grilled cheese on your lower back.
So this is a horrible tragedy and the worst, and yet it started by literally nothing. Seriously. It was mostly bad communication, which we see time and time again now in politics, bad communication, bad information. And I've heard horrific stories, but this may be one of three of the worst. Okay. And I might even say because of it being easily solved, it could be the worst because it just happened. It happened on a fluke. It could have been if somebody would have talked to this guy, maybe, or if there could have just been better representation at the time, just somebody who could have came up to him and been like, hey man, like I can tell you're tense. Cause there was a neighbor who was like, could tell. It's like the guy that's reserved to the fact that he's going to commit suicide. Suddenly he just like feels a stress relief. Mm-hmm. So there were people like a neighbor specifically who saw Andrew and was like, look, I can tell you're wrapped up in something. And anyway, so Andrew Kehoe, the 55-year-old school board treasurer, was angered by increased taxes and his defeat in the spring of 1926, which most people believe was the moment that he decided, fuck this shit. I'm blowing your asses up. It was an election for township clerk.
Fuck this shit!
He was thought to have planned his murderous revenge after that public defeat. Kehoe had a reputation for difficulty on the school board and in personal dealings. In addition, he was very anti-tax. In fact, he didn't pay land taxes for the house that he had. And there were issues there too. Like they were like, hey, look, you need to start paying your taxes. I think he just bought, I mean, he's wearing a suit while he's tilling his crops. So I'm thinking he pays a lot of money for appearances and doesn't care about saving a dime. So his reputation for difficulty on the school board and in personal dealings became notorious. In addition, he was notified that his mortgage was going to be foreclosed upon. Like I said, he wasn't paying land taxes in June of 1926. So compounded by his jealousy of not being elected, there was Emery. It's hard to say his name. Huck. Emery. But it's got a Y in there. So it's like Huyuk.
Yuk.
Huyuk. Emery Huyuk. He was this guy who was like, we need more money from the community. It's a small, it's very small. Like Bath is like all dirt roads. Even I think to today, it's not one of those places you drive in and there's like a sit-go and a bank and all this stuff and like a thriving community. It's very rural and small. So anyway, the superintendent, the biggest thing they had going for was the Bath Consolidated School. The superintendent would fight with Keo and be like, look, we need this money for this school. We want these kids to experience things. Lansing is roughly an hour away. We'd like to take them to the Capitol. We'd like to take them on school trips. We'd like to do all these things. And he's like, fucking school, taking my monies. I just want to buy a new pristine hoe that I'm not going to use so I can look at it and maybe like a pitchfork.
So I need a new suit for every time I till my land.
A drop of sweat fell into my crotch stain area. And that's where I just pee because I'm an angry psychopath. But anyway, so for much of the next year, like I said, a neighbor noticed that he had stopped working on his farm and thought that he might be planning suicide. Now, Kehoe was actually the main stump blower in the farming community. So he had access to dynamite. Not stumps as in, like, dicks. But he was the guy that would go to Lansing. He would procure the dynamite, and he would come back, and he would blast stumps for people. And that was a big issue, especially if you had a farm. Like, you could chop down a tree, but you needed to get under there to kind of make the soil rich like you wanted it to be.
Yeah, to be fair, they didn't have John Deere back then, did they?
No. This is 1926. But there's still
shovels, like... I guess it seems.
Have you ever tried to dig up a stump?
Roots go.
Yeah, like down.
I've dug up an apple tree.
This isn't
once.
Like Josh. This isn't. I'm sorry. We have to appease your video game mind. This isn't Minecraft.
I don't play no Minecraft.
You really got to figure shit out when you're doing like getting down to it. So anyway,
they make digging look so easy though.
He was the local stump blaster. People enjoyed that, and. During that period, though, when those two things happened, like I said, he didn't make it onto the board and he was told he was going to have to pay all this money, which, oh, I wanted to mention, it was $198 in taxes annually, but that's like $2,000 today money.
Okay.
So because of a good school with good kids who were completely, he thought of them as undeserving, but they were, I mean, let's break it down. How do we feel about taxes going to school? Schools, like how to I know
education.
Education
seems pretty important.
Education is important.
Like I'm more than happy to pay taxes to support the people who are going to take care of the country once I'm too old to.
I mean, I'm cool with it as long as the local community sort of has control over what the taxes go towards.
Exactly, right. And this is a very primitive area in time where things were just like that's what it was. But he was just angry because they were taking money from him. I wouldn't have called Kehoe like a diehard liberal or an insane progressive type. I would say he was just a product of the times, and he was just so focused on the fact that like they were going to take money from him, and he wanted to basically tell the superintendent to go fuck himself if he was going to like take money from him, which I can understand. I mean, look, he was an intellectual. He was smart. he was important, but also feared in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some key moments that are going to come up here as I tell the story. Josh, what do you use?
Didn't he work for the school, though?
He did, briefly. So he was a trustee.
So you would think that he would understand the idea of money going into the schools.
But he did that.
He wanted to become a trustee, exactly. To keep the money from coming out.
Yeah. Which is why his number one
effect. That's actually the most, if you have a feeling like that, getting into the politics and being in control is probably the best way to do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in that, like I said, he was a smart man. Mm-hmm. So Keogh had a reputation for being difficult. Like I said, we're going to jump ahead a bit here. So
was he difficult?
He was an asshole.
Is a difficult
the highest caliber. He dressed in a suit, like I said, in most occasions, not just in farming. He would also just show up looking like Dapper Dan. Actually, if you join our Instagram, I'll post a picture of this guy with his wife, and it's like you can sense the dickheadery.
I bet you he's one of those guys that would like take a bath in a suit.
Yeah.
Like, need to go to the grocery store, pick up some toilet paper and some tampons for the wife. Better put on my best three piece.
On May 18th.
Did they have tampons back then?
Yeah, it's true. I got to get some toilet paper for the wife. Oh, wait.
I don't even want to theorize.
Yeah.
I got to get some cloth towels for the wife.
So it's May 18th. It's still spring. It's late spring. May 18th, beautiful sunny day. 8:30 in the morning, the school rose up about 4 feet and immediately crushed itself on its base.
Jeez.
After a loud boom sounded out. All the residents heard was a deafening boom. In fact, people in Lansing, which was an hour drive on dirt roads away, heard this explosion.
Wow.
At the times of this explosion, the Keogh farm started on fire and the madness was only beginning. This is what led to that and what followed. Like I said, he bought his dynamite from Lansing and was known as the local stump blower. Just want to reiterate that.
Got wood? I'll take care of it.
just to get into it a bit. So he murdered his wife that same morning. They don't know if it was 2 days previous or the same day, but he murdered Nellie between May 16th and the morning of May 18th, 1927, she had just been discharged from the hospital with undefined illness.
That's the kind of guy I like.
Juice, we don't need your 2 cents, but okay. How's that reality show coming?
Putting it together. Okay. Should be out anytime soon.
He then detonated incendiary devices on his homestead on the morning of May 18th at 8:45. So you got to think 8:30 school launches up 4 feet. Kids get blasted everywhere. It's a horrible mm-hmm. catastrophe. Everybody hears this explosion because it's not like you've got like people. It's like not a bustling city. It's like got some corn here. Anybody want to shut up?
That's the loudest sound in the whole city. It's just a cow.
There's not like a Starbucks that's bustling. It's like I made coffee with my boots and some grain. It's not a fun time. So,
it sounds like the Shoop's kitty cat's in heat again. We can hear across town.
So the Bath Consolidated School blows up. Just boom. And it's not the whole school. I don't want you to think it was the whole school. It wasn't like an Arnold Schwarzenegger thing where like there's a teacher just running out slow motion, someone like get down and like jumps in the air.
Throws the cigarette, catches the gasoline on fire, goes all the way up just to the school.
Boom, 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 boom. No, it was like a portion of where it was rigged. Because actually, if all of the explosives he had rigged had gone off, the whole city would have been leveled.
No shit.
Wow. Which was literally one of the bombs, like actually, where, this is 1927. So, I mean, it's like, see? Fucking Goofy put that fucking anvil in front of the gunpowder and it didn't fucking blow.
Gosh.
Oh, damn it. So yeah, but I mean thankfully,
yeah,
because that then it would have been like
Columbine. Hey, was like that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to Columbine, this story. These kids got destroyed. Mm. Like the people that were injured, like this wasn't like, oh, I got a piece of wood in my back. It was like I was buried under an entire 4 stories of a school.
Jeez.
I saw nothing. So they like I want you guys to imagine this, because this is 1927, probably a pretty little thing from USM, University of Michigan or whatever, doing chalk scraping. She's like, okay, today we're going to talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Boom.
The whole room just goes white. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you see is you're laying, you think you're laying down, you can't feel your legs, and you're staring at a beam.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you feel somebody, and this is one of the stories I heard about one of the kids. No. You feel somebody grab your hand and they're just squeezing. They're not talking because they can't talk. They can't hear anything because they're deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just squeezing. And that was one of the teachers who actually died, squeezed the hands of one of the kids so that she knew she was okay until they were able to get them pulled out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Wow.
That's part of the book that was very harrowing. So Keo murdered his wife, put her in a wheelbarrow, and put her in the middle of his farm. He then took wire, wrapped it around all of his horses' legs so they couldn't run away, and set the place on fire.
Why the horses?
Because
what did they do?
What a dick.
No kidding.
So as he was driving
down the road,
as he's leaving, the hundreds of pounds of dynamite and incendiary pyrrolidol, which is the name of the explosive that he had, which he had secretly planted inside the school over the course of many months. In fact, he invited all of the kids from the school to have lunch on his farm before the explosion happened, which I think is actually a telltale of a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he said a few things that some of the teachers were like, okay.
Hope he's tomorrow, like, you have an explosive day at school.
Yeah, or like, I hope that salami and cheese is fiery. Like, excuse me? Just gonna go blow some stumps. Dickhead. Anyway, so as rescuers began working at the school, Kehoe, who had left his house, firefighters were coming. The first firefighters actually came to his house. And he stopped him and he said, boys, I like you. There's a bigger emergency happening in the city.
Wow.
So he told them to leave
his
not
house.
To go to his house, but to go to the school. Because he knew the brunt of the explosion had happened.
Right.
Do you think
so
that
he
was
did
like
have a bit of emotion. There was, this is the moment where
some
you have
sort
to think,
of guilt there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a, plus they weren't on the trustee board. They were paid by the city.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're just guys that he knew.
Right, but that sends help to the kids that he just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. He's a psychopath, man.
Yeah, can't explain that.
We're about to hit a crazy moment here, too. So, anyway, so as rescuers began working at the school, which they did instantly, and it was, I mean, this is like a community. Like, the banker comes out, and he's, you know, the guy that runs the laundromat or the
horseshoeing.
Horseshoeing comes out and starts just scooping kids out.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are dead. They set up the like a makeshift first responders tent. That grows. People start showing up. I mean, just everybody's like, what the fuck happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is the school gone? Like, half the school's gone. Everything's in chaos. And there's dead kids, like body parts, pieces of things everywhere. So as rescuers did that, Kehoe drove up after he saw the firemen. This is part of every psychopath we've ever covered. Mm-hmm. They drive up, they want to admire the scene. He'd probably rock hard, excited, seeing the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
He drove up, stopped, and that's when he saw Emery, the superintendent. Superintendent saw him and he just shook his head at him. Now, I read this in the book. I'm doing this off the cuff because this was the moment that I was like, wow. So Emery sees him and he's like, oh God, like you're the stump blower. Like he's putting two and two together. Immediately they start arguing. He's like, we need your truck. We need your help. Get out. And he's just smiling. Which is what the firemen said they saw too. Mm-hmm. Which is what people said they saw when he had the kids over for the thing for the lunch in the park. Also, or in on his farm. Also, I want to say this: the night before he did a double check on the explosives, there was a musical that happened. The kids had a musical at the school, and he stood outside and watched everybody leave. across the street. And there was one of the survivors said they saw him just like kind of like the man in black, like in the shadows watching all the kids leave. And it was just like afterwards that became one of the nightmares that they had was seeing him, watching him. So Emery's yelling, Andrew Kehoe's yelling, things are getting heated. At this point, he's got a rifle in between his seat and the passenger seat. What Emery didn't know was he had drove his vehicle, his truck, down to the scene, not only to see and admire the destruction that he had caused, but also to set off another explosion. He had rigged the back of his truck with explosives, but this time it wasn't just an explosive petrol situation with dynamite. He had shrapnel all over the back.
Oh, jeez.
So we're talking nails and pieces of wood.
Hot damn.
So as soon as Emery raised his voice and there was a witness, and this is how we know what these two said, because there was a witness, there was a lady who saw this with her baby in her arm, was across the street, like it, seeing everything going on. Emery said, get out and help us right now. And Andrew Kehoe looked at him and said, fine, I'll take you with me. Shot the explosive in the back of the truck, killed him and the superintendent instantly. Now, we're talking about, I mentioned, the mother with the baby in her arm.
Mm-hmm.
The mom got hit right in the eyeball with a nail.
Oh!
She did not drop her baby. The baby was the survivor who talked to Arnie Bernstein.
Wow.
In the 2000s about the book that was written about this situation.
No shit.
Yes.
So, okay. So
she has since passed, but she is one of the survivors of the blast.
So she took a nail to the eye.
The mom did.
And died.
Didn't die.
Okay. Didn't die. So I wasn't sure if it went through.
But that's just one of the victims of the of that day. There were many people who died. God. I think there was a firefighter who died because of that truck blast. Because they were all focused on this. Who cares about two guys yelling?
Right.
You got kids screaming, bloody murder. So anyway, it killed him and school superintendent and several others nearby, as well as injuring more bystanders. During rescue efforts at the school, searchers discovered an additional 500 pounds of unexploded dynamite and pyrrolidol, connected to a timing device set to detonate at the same time as the first explosions. The material was hidden throughout the basement of the South Wing. Kehoe had apparently intended to blow up and destroy the entire school. And that's your first segment for this episode.
How do we make fun of this? I told you
this is very... Yeah. I mean, this is my main point with this story. I think a lot of people get caught in the nowadays. They don't realize our history. And I think our history is important to reflect on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wasn't taught in school. This is a huge event.
It is.
Especially in Michigan, you know?
Yes. It's one of the most crucial, I think, historically, the reason I asked everybody if they knew about this was key, because I didn't. And this is something I wish I would have known in school, because I would have been humbled by the enormity and the tragedy of this. But I never knew this. And I'm 37. I just really found out about it in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And from Michigan.
Yeah, my hometown. Well, I've been to Lansing multiple times. No one's ever told me the worst school violence ever was done in a small rural community of farmers.
Well, Andy and I were talking the other day about how, you know, school shootings have been going on since the 1800s. It's not a new thing.
No, it's not. And they want to blame. I mean, I don't want to get too political, but they always want to blame it on guns.
Yeah, I know.
This didn't happen because of guns. Yeah. This happened because of hate.
Yeah.
And bad communication.
And mental health.
And mental health. The guy was a psychopath.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The garden tools.
Yeah.
Bad hose.
Yeah, bad hose, man. He was obsessed with hose.
That's right. He didn't care about his main hoe. Put her in a wheelbarrow. Who knows how he killed her?
My man.
Well, all right. That's the first segment. When we come back, we'll have more facts and all the segments you know and love.
If you're not subscribed to our Patreon yet, you're missing such great content as this.
We want you
mm-hmm.
to guess
These are, the these are the penultimate characters of Game of Thrones. Okay. So here we go. Our first character is a female.
Okay, I know who that is.
Who is that?
That's the Khaleesi.
Yes.
Wow.
Ding, 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 nice. Ding.
Nailed it.
Daenerys Stormborn. Next character, another female.
Okay. Oh, yep. Boy. That's the only one I know.
Okay, yep.
She's one of my favorite characters.
Okay, let me see her. That is Sad Jane.
Sad Jane. This sounds like it's Deadwood. Sad Jane. It's like Trixie and Deadwood. Like
in some ways, it's super close though.
It is.
Her name is Sansa Stark. She is the actually at the end of the series, she's the Queen of the North.
The next is a boy.
Okay,
we all know
that's a boy.
Yeah. It is a boy.
Oh, that's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's Post Malone.
It's Jon Snow, for what it's worth.
I know that name.
Now we got another boy here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the best boy.
Best boy.
Oh, I know him. I know his name. His name is Terry.
Terry?
Yeah, I can't remember his last name. It's a short last name. And I'm not being funny, like, because no, it's a short character.
It's not Terry. It's not Terry. It's Tyrion.
Tyrion, yes.
Yeah.
That's Tyrion.
So if you'd like to support us and get more bonus content, check us out at patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcasts. That's patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcasts.
Then you better come in. It's just ability, that reason that we're so thin. Living and dying and the stories that are true. Sink or do a collapse, knowing when you're through. Black or white shoes, black hair, Cadillac.
Back in the Shoop Kitchen studio, we're here with our special guest, Andy Shatner, talking about a really cripplingly depressing massacre. But this is a first for us. We're doing kind of a true crime thing, yes, but at the same, it's so underrepresented that it's almost just too fascinating not to talk about. Now, there will be a verdict, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. Okay. But I want to mention, when this happened, the public was so intrigued. 8,500 vehicles came to see the damage in that week.
Oh, I mean, if that had happened, I mean, I feel like April and I would go.
Mm-hmm. I would too. I would be mystified. I also, a lot of people, one of the great things about this was the amount that people donated, mm-hmm. the amount that people came to help. I mean, like I said, the banker, the dairy guy, the
the horseshoe guy,
the horseshoe
Don't
guy,
him.
All the community came out and immediately set up a first responders tent. Immediately they set up like a communication thing, got in touch with Lansing. All the fire departments were there to help.
The crude 1920s doctor.
Eat an apple.
I got some cocaine for you.
Yeah.
Take away the sting.
So initially the KKK blamed with flyers that the reason Kehoe did that was childhood exposure to Catholicism, which I thought was kind of interesting. Well, I'm like, why is the KKK getting involved? But I guess, I mean, they're trying.
They don't like Catholics.
No, they don't.
They just saw that as an opportunity to promote, you know.
Basically, just anything hateful, they're just going to be like, yeah, okay.
It's their version of handing out their mixtape.
Racism was so much harder back then. I mean, you had to like make a meeting. You had to show up places.
You had
to make flyers. Now you just click a button on the internet and you're a racist.
Sign petition to hate blacks. Oh, right.
You got to rent a hall.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to be done.
So uniforms.
Yeah. God damn it, Ralph. You showed up with a spaghetti stain on your fucking Ku Klux Klan uniform.
You had one job.
God damn it. Did your wife make those cookies, though?
Those delicious cookies.
He's like,
John has a stutter.
She did. But
well, I have a letter case.
They look at the pan of cookies, and there's like a big piece of dark chocolate in the middle, and they just like, shake their head.
No chocolate chip. No. They can only have white chocolate.
No way.
White chocolate macadamia nut they can have. Sugar cookies. And peanut butter.
I don't know. Peanut butter's getting a little too brown.
That's a little brown.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
What is this? This looks like some sort of Indian type sugar. It's got magic in it. Make me more racist, I guess. Or less. I don't know.
Pass me the crackers.
Not them Ritz. So I want to bring up a bit about Andrew Philip Kehoe. He was born in Tecumseh, Michigan on February 1st, 1872, into a family of 13 children.
Wow.
Yep. He was Catholic.
He attended the local high school in Tecumseh. After graduating, Kehoe studied electrical engineering at Michigan State College in East Lansing, Michigan, and moved to St. Louis, Missouri, where he worked as an electrician. After several years, he returned to Michigan and his father's farm. After his mother's death, Kehoe's father, Philip, had married a much younger widow who Andrew hated.
Oh.
Very openly, too. He didn't necessarily say, I hate you. He was just like...
just leered from across the room.
Andrew, you've been leering at that schoolhouse, but also at your stepmom.
I dislike her.
In September of 1911, as his stepmother was attempting to light the family's oil stove, it exploded and set her body on fire. Now, oil stove, right? Kehoe ran in. Now, remember, he's smart. He's an electrician. Mm-hmm. And threw a bucket of water on her. What's not good to do on an oil fire?
Water.
No. Water. So it's highly suspected he killed his stepmother. And mm-hmm. this is before Whoa. The school bombing.
Ouchies.
So,
yeah.
His actions spread the flames more rapidly over her body. She died from her injuries. Some of Kehoe's neighbors believe that he had caused the stove explosion. Monty Ellsworth's version of these events in the Bass School Disaster says that the fire happened when Kehoe was 14, so he's a bit younger, but agrees with other sources on points of fact. He does mention the rumors that the stove was tampered with.
Now, only they had Pornhub back then. He could have watched himself some stepmom porn and gotten that anger out of his system.
Highly agree. Like family therapy is what they call it whenever I go in.
Fap therapy.
Fap therapy. But or some Call of Duty or some fucking energy drinks and then go punch
a wall.
Punch a wall.
Are we still talking
some
about
drywall?
Call of Duty porn on Pornhub? Because I believe that exists too.
I guess so.
Sure it does.
Yeah, Call of Booty.
Now, as I mentioned, he had a reputation for frugality and was elected in 1924 as a trustee on the school board for 3 years and treasurer for one. He argued endlessly for lower taxes. And later superintendent of the board, M.W. Keyes, or Emery, said that he fought the expenditure of money for the most necessary equipment. Kehoe was considered extremely difficult to work with, often voting against the rest of the board and wanting his own way. He repeatedly accused Superintendent Emery Hook of financial mismanagement.
Mm. See, so, I think they just needed to get together, have a nice lunch with one another. Could have invited the superintendent over to his house.
Right. Like they could have, or they could have just like, maybe they needed a little bit of like psychoactive puff puff.
I think they just needed a good scrap.
Like, yeah, like a fight.
Like,
yeah.
Like just a nice 1920s
fisticuff
with those little tiny boxing shorts and the super tight tank top.
No. Food.
Yeah, put them up. See?
I want to talk because I've now given you a bit of preamble, but also you kind of know the disaster. I want to talk, Josh, you got a thing. I want to talk about what happened afterwards a bit too. And then we'll go to the segment. So telephone operators stayed at their station for hours to summon doctors, undertakers, area hospital workers, anyone else who might help. The Lansing Fire Department sent several firefighters and its chief, local physician J.A. Crum, and his wife, a nurse who had both served in World War I, turned their Bath drugstore into a triage center. The dead bodies were taken to the town hall, which was used as a morgue and probably to identify these people because these kids were black. I mean, the photos are horrific. And again, don't seek them out. Hundreds of people worked in the wreckage all day and into the night in an effort to find and rescue any child pinned underneath. Area contractors had sent all their men to assist, and many other people came to the scene in response to their pleas for help. Eventually, 34 firefighters and the chief of Lansing Fire Department arrived on the scene, as did several Michigan State police officers who managed traffic to and from the scene. The injured and dying were transported to Sparrow Hospital and St. Lawrence Hospital in Lansing. The construction of the St. Lawrence facility had been financed in large part by Lawrence Price, Nellie Kehoe's uncle, who is Andrew Kehoe's wife, and formerly an executive in charge of Oldsmobile Lansing's car assembly.
Hmm.
Michigan Governor Fred W. Green arrived during the afternoon of the disaster and assisted in the relief work, carting bricks away from the scene. The Lawrence Baking Company of Lansing sent a truck filled with pies and sandwiches, which were served to rescuers in the township's community hall. Josh perked
Josh up. Just found the sunlight here.
Did you bring him steamed hams?
What kind of pies?
The bombing had destroyed the north wing of the school. During the search, rescuers found an additional 500 pounds of dynamite. As I said, the search was halted to allow the Michigan State Police to disarm the devices, which that was another fear. Like during the latter half of the day, they're like, oh, great, we're going to have another explosion. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck are we going to do? How do we get all these people who came out in earnest to just help us? And then we have to be like, guys, get back.
There's more bombs.
And then the pie truck comes up like, I got pies here. I got pies for you. Blueberry, raspberry. I got pies for you. And you're just like, damn, put a little cheddar cheese on that. It's going to be delicious. And then somebody's like, get burk. It's like action movie. Then no explosion happens, which is like the worst.
One guy just dives for the dirt.
In slow motion. He just dives on one of the pie trucks.
Or he just stares at him like,
He jumped on a cherry pie. He's like, oh, I'm dying.
You got whipped cream here? Got crumbs of cherry pies. Oh, God, the bomb was just for me. Oh, I'm just the horseshoe repairman. Anyway, so it eventually was halted at 8:40. Okay, so investigators speculated that the initial explosion may have caused a short circuit, which is what caused the other bombs not to go off, preventing them from detonating. They searched the building and they returned to the recovery work. Police and fire officials gathered at the Kehoe farm to investigate the fires. State troopers had searched for Nellie Kehoe throughout Michigan, thinking that she was at a tuberculosis sanitarium, but her charred body was found the following day among the ruins of the farm. All the Kehoe farm buildings were destroyed and the two horses had died trapped inside the barn. Investigators found a wooden sign wired to the farm's fence with Kehoe's last message stenciled on it. Criminals are made, not born.
Wow. That guy had a bone to pick.
Yeah, right?
I want to say something. After the 8,500 people that came there showed up, 8,500 vehicles, or 85,000, I think. Mm-hmm. No, it was 85,000. It was a lot. The disasters received nationwide coverage in the days following, sharing headlines with the Charles Lindbergh transatlantic crossing and eliciting a national outpouring of grief. Newspaper headlines from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles characterized Kehoe as a maniac, a madman, and a fiend. People from across the world provided sympathy to the families in the community of Bath, including letters from some Italian school children. One fifth grader wrote, "Even though we are small, we understand all the sorrow and misfortune that has struck our dear brothers." And another wrote, quote, "We are praying to God to give us the unfortunate mothers and fathers the strength to bear the great sorrow that has descent on them. We are near you in spirit."
See, you know what the problem is like, think about how eloquently that is said. And if you were to do that now, it'd be like, YOLO swag, fart, poopy butts.
Thanks, Justin Bieber.
Not quite that bad, but yeah. He had a lot more time to write back.
Thoughts
then.
And prayers. Yeet.
Yeet.
Yeah, and it's a picture of
it's just a meme. That's all you'd receive is a meme.
Yeah.
Tots and prayers.
Kehoe's body was eventually claimed by one of his sisters. Without ceremony, she had him buried in an unmarked grave in an initially unnamed cemetery. It was later revealed that Kehoe was buried in the pauper section of the Mount Rest Cemetery in St. John's, Michigan. The Price family buried Nellie Price Kehoe in Lansing's Mount Hope Cemetery under her maiden name, which good way to get back at the asshole. Mm-hmm. Now, the coroner arrived at the scene on the day of the disaster and sworn six community leaders to serve as jury investigating the death of Superintendent Kyuk, the Emory guy, the guy that came up and said, "Get out of your fucking truck and help us, you ass dick." And he was like, "I'm an ass goblin." The coroner's inquest into the matter was held the following week. Starting on May 23rd, the Clinton County prosecutor conducted examination.
All right.
They call me great, great, great Clinton.
I like getting my stump blown.
Hey. And that's a fact, Jack. So during his testimony, David Hart testified that Kehoe had told him that he had killed a horse, and the New York Times reported people as saying that Kehoe had an ungovernable temper and seemed to have a mania for killing things. Neighbors had seen him wiring his house in early April 1927. Keogh's neighbor, Sidney J. Howell, testified that after the fire began, Keogh warned him and three boys to leave the farm, saying, "Boys, you're my friend." So it wasn't the firemen. It was these guys. It was his neighbors that he liked. "You better get out of here. You better go down to the school." Three telephone linemen working near Bath testified that Keogh passed them on the road toward the school, and they saw him arrive there with a smile on his face. He swerved his truck and stopped in front of the building, and that's when he saw Yuck. The rebuilding effort called for donations to aid the townspeople and created the Bath Relief Fund. With the money supplied by donors, state and local governments, people from around the country donated to the fund. School resumed on September 5th, 1927, and for the 1927-28 school year, was held in the community hall, township hall, and two retail buildings. Mm. Most of the students returned. The board appointed O.M. Brandt of Luther, Michigan, to succeed Yuck as the superintendent. The Lansing architect Warren Holmes donated construction plans, and the school board approved the contracts for the new building on September 4th. On September 5th, Michigan's U.S. Senator James J. Cousins presented his personal check of $75,000, equivalent to $1,081,753 in 2018 to the Bath Construction Fund to build the new school. The board demolished the damaged portion of the school and constructed a new wing, which there is a plaque at the entrance to the in the park where the top of the school sits. It's not remodeled. It's just repainted and kept up, but you can see the actual top of the school that was exploded.
Well, it's good to see they didn't throw the baby away with the bathwater.
Lawrence Niece.
Ouch.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
The James Cousins Agricultural School was dedicated on August 18th, 1928. The Keogh farm was completely plowed to ensure that no explosives were hidden in the ground and was sold at auction to pay the mortgage. And that is the story of the Bath School bombing.
Wow.
So how you doing, brother?
Woof.
Yeah.
Yay. Dead no baby. More nightmares. Oops.
Dead babies.
Jeez. Ah,
goody.
Dead little boys, little girls. There's a lot of them. I didn't get into... You want to know what's crazy?
Mm.
I didn't get into a lot of the really gory details.
Thank you.
Seek the book out.
Yeah.
I highly recommend the book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua.
Yes.
I'm thirsty. I'd like some pop culture.
It's time for the Pop Culture Minute with Josh. Sonic Boom!
I really like how things have been going pop culture. Mm. And so I think I'm going to declare that this is how I'm going to be doing this shit from now on, because that's fun. So we had an episode, a very sad episode, I might say, about a school blowing up in, well, I thought about it in pop culture. It'd be fun to talk about our favorite media involving school. Specific, and you know, it's.
I thought you're gonna ask for our favorite school shooting.
Go team Parkland.
You know, it's hard between Columbine and you know the whatever that happened last week. It's you know,
Oregon Tech. No, we're gonna talk about our favorite movies and TV shows, music, whatever involving schools. So,
oh, I get what you're saying. So, like,
Saved by the Bell or stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I believe in having our listeners go first or our guests. So, we're going to start with Andy. Favorite TV show, movies, music, anything based on schools, high school, middle school, kindergartners. Give me anything.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with a cult classic Rock and Roll High School, The Ramones.
Yes.
Cool.
Love that movie.
Very good.
Pretty good one.
What do you, we go around the horn?
Later? Sure. Now that's a movie. Any specific TV shows or anything that you really enjoy?
Oh boy. Well, I guess, yes. You know what? As cheesy as it was, Saved by the Bell was kind of, you know, I actually watched that, I admit.
Yeah, dude. Dude, I'm with you.
All right, we're bringing it around here. We're going to start with April.
Oh, probably my favorite like school-related movie is 10 Things I Hate About You. It takes place in a high school, so I'm going to say that that works.
Okay. Late, great Heath Ledger.
It's my favorite Heath Ledger role ever. Yeah. So underrated. But I think, like, as far as TV goes, that like, maybe takes place in a school, Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is a classic, like, coming of age school drama comedy.
It's topical because the girl in that, not Topanga, the redhead chick, she apparently now does porn.
Don't say like you haven't looked at it.
No, I'm just saying like the
apparently.
No, I'm saying like it's. I said it's topical. She's doing porn now.
Okay, right on. Larry, what do you?
I'm gonna say for movie. I'm gonna say Breakfast Club.
Mm. Oh,
that's like such probably, a good one.
Probably the gold standard of that.
I had such a crush on Molly Ringwald.
All those, John.
I can see a little bit of Aaron in her.
I'll show you pictures of Aaron younger. She looked just like Molly Ringwald.
That makes so much sense.
Yes. TV show, I loved Community.
Great.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Nice. Is there any music or anything for everybody?
Oh, not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Oh, I got to add one more movie. Yes. I'm surprised I forgot about this. This is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Heathers.
Oh, yep. Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone had a crush on Winona Ryder.
Totally.
Who didn't?
I'm going to say Dead Poets Society.
Okay.
A huge Robin Williams fan, so I love that. Like, it's kind of a... It's a drama, but also I was huge into Saved by the Bell. I wasn't so much into 90210. I just liked the comedy and like the silliness of Saved by the Bell. And I had a crush on what's her name?
Zach.
Tiffany. Yeah. No, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Oh, he's a good looking guy. I actually met him in person.
Really?
He played in the Founders All Star Band, and they had practice in the same room. And they were practicing with my drummer at the time.
No,
so
kidding.
He walked by, and I walked by him, and I looked at him, and I was like, time out! But it didn't stop. He just kept walking.
Yeah, he wasn't going to.
No, I didn't say that.
You had no bell to save you.
I did not. I just looked at him weird, and then he looked at me weird, and I'm like, go fuck yourself. All right.
It's because he's trash.
Yeah. Zach Morris is trash. Great YouTube show. Anyway.
Let's see. You know what? For movies, I kept thinking of all sorts of great ones, but Andy really hits the nail on the head.
He does.
Rock and Roll High School is such a phenomenal film. If anyone's never heard of it, it has the Ramones in it. They're high as fuck.
Good.
They did not want to remember being in this film. And I believe was it Dee Dee's last one of his, like, that was the reason why he left the band or something? I can't remember for sure, but yeah, that's a great film. TV shows, I gotta go with Boy Meets World because it's so good. Now,
Bully, the video game. I wasn't sure if you were going there.
I was gonna go with video games. Yes, Bully, phenomenal Rockstar game. But I'm also going to pull one out of left field, and I'm going to say Persona 5. I just played that about a year ago on PlayStation 4, and the Persona series is basically based on high school, the relationships you build with people, and all sorts of other crazy fun shit. And as far as music, because I can't believe you guys didn't think of this, School's Out.
Oh, Alice Cooper.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't... play that on their last day of school, their senior year. Mm-hmm. Like,
Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah,
that would be high on my list.
I mean, and another great one, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
80s had a plethora of those types, too.
I mean, I would count, what's the other one that has Matthew McConaughey in it?
Days and Confused.
Days and Confused. I would almost consider that a high school film. But
it was.
Sure.
It was the end of high school, like that, before summer started. Mm-hmm.
It was freshman hazing and all that stuff in it. So
freshman
Ben Affleck
girls.
Being crazy.
Yeah, that was, that's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Of that movie.
Richard Linklater, he's great.
So, yeah, that's all I have, though. So. Yeah, that's the end of that.
Cool. That's been your pop culture.
Yeah.
April.
Yes.
Do we have anything on the Yahoo Answers?
I do.
Okay. Well, hey, guess what? It's time for your Yahoo Answers.
Yahoo! So, I thought since we were talking about schools, I went the same route as Josh, and I thought, okay, let's cheer ourselves up a little bit.
I appreciate the lightheartedness of the second half.
So I went to Yahoo Answers and found the responses. There are actually 210 answers to this question, so I cherry-picked a few of these.
Okay.
What is your most embarrassing school story?
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. So this first one from an anonymous user. What happened is that when I was in the second grade, at the start, I did not know where the boys' toilet was, and so I accidentally entered the girls' toilet, taking it to be the boys' toilet. I was peeing merrily.
Is it Santa Claus or an elf?
I guess. When suddenly a girl came over from nowhere. She was maybe 1 year older than me. She saw me pissing and saw my dick. She screamed and ran away. Then she called some other girls and they started, together they started shouting, ha ha, you being a boy are in the girls' toilet. I'm sure that's exactly what they said. I immediately understood everything. I quickly put my dick inside my pants.
I thought it was just my dick inside one of them. I was like, is this a porno?
Second grade.
Whoops.
And zipped my pants and ran away. Then for some days, this incident spread as fire and everybody started teasing me. I felt really embarrassed, but after a week, things became normal. Lori.
Interesting.
Wow.
This one's a really good one from user Deblin. I was in fifth grade and wanted the stonewash look for my jeans. I laid them on the porch and poured almost a whole gallon of bleach on them. I left them just like that, knowing they would dry overnight. The next morning, they were perfect. Of course, they had a really strong chlorine smell, which I thought no one would notice, although it made my eyes water. That's... sounds like a fifth grade thing. By the end of first period, no one could even bear to sit beside me. By the end of second period, the jeans started to disintegrate, just like a brittle piece of old paper. My mom was called to pick me up. The jeans had fallen apart so badly, she had to bring me pants to wear to the car. My family thought it was hilarious. Oh, this That's is a good funny. One, too. This is another anonymous user. She says, I have quite a few. Some I can't remember and some I can. The one that sticks out the most is when I did track in high school. I would usually wear these looser fitting shorts because I didn't feel comfortable with the short, tight ones while practicing. I also didn't shave my thighs or bikini line very often in early high school. Well, long story short, before every practice began, we would stretch as a team. I remember we went to go do the butterfly stretch, and this one dude that I was an acquaintance with started making this weird face and going, oh my God, what are you doing? And other weird things. I just brushed it off at first since he would do stuff like that a lot. As the stretch went on, I had something bite my ankle or touch it, so I looked down to see and realized that I had put on a pair of shorts with a huge hole in the crotch. There, my underwear and unshaven and hairy thighs were exposed. I was so embarrassed. I then turned back to everyone finished stretching. I went into the locker room to see if I had brought extra shorts, since I usually did. This time, I hadn't. I had to practice in the shorts for the entire day, which butterfly stretch, if you guys don't know, is when you put your feet together and, like, spread your knees apart as far as they can go.
So yeah, we used to, that was always our stretch in the military before we run.
God.
It's the sexy stretch.
It's the
beaver.
It's the one that would probably set your butt on fire.
Right.
The beaver stretch.
The beaver stretch. This one's from user Isra. This is actually recent, but it was the end of track practice, and we had to do 40 of some type of sit-ups, and I did leg lifts. Needless to say, I farted on my last one. I'm not sure if anyone heard, but no one gave me any weird looks. I'm still embarrassed. Weeks later, I'm never doing leg lifts in public again. And then this last one from user Jacob. I try my best to be as chivalrous of a teenage boy at my high school. Something I do say gets me attention at my school. I almost always open a door and hold it for a girl to walk in or out, and I've been doing it all year. Unfortunately, it seems like some people got used to it, including my crush. I was in a rush. I was running late for a midterm exam, and the last thing on my mind was to hold open doors for people. I quickly pushed open a door from the stairwell after running down the stairs, the doors you push or pull, push to get out of the stairwell, pull to get into it. Well, I pushed the door, and I ran through it, and these doors closed quickly. Apparently, a girl behind me thought I was going to hold it for her, and the door slammed her in the face. She later told me she couldn't push the door back when it was closing on her because she had books and textbooks in her hands. And well, basically, I heard her give out a little cry, run back, and who do I see? My crush, laying there, books and papers scattered all over the stairs with a red, bloody nose.
Well, you know what? That's her own fault for assuming.
That's true.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
What?
Doing our own? Most embarrassing school moment.
Oh,
I've told you guys this before. It still sticks with me is when I called my second grade teacher mommy.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I feel like I've told most of mine. Ripping my pants from front to back on stage, farting in front of my crush, and then he called me April Vander Farty for the remainder of the second grade year. But another one, I don't know if I've mentioned this, is actually similar to Larry's. We were on a field trip to the Grand Rapids Public Museum, and we were going down the big flight of stairs, and my mom would chaperone that trip, and I reached up to grab her hand, and I was holding her hand walking down the stairs, and I looked up, and it was not my mom, but this woman just was holding my hand. She was like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. So, yeah. Oh,
Andy, do you
I've heard the almost walking into the woman's bathroom before. I was in between classes, and this girl that I was friends with, who I kind of thought was cute, she handed me a note, and I was like, oh my God, this girl just handed me a note. And I was just like in this like, oh wow. And I was just like, I have to go to the bathroom and read it. And I wasn't even paying attention, and I just head right to the women's bathroom. Because I opened the door, these two girls came out, and they started screaming. I was like, ah! And luckily, it didn't actually go in, but that like kind of brought me back to reality.
I would assume so. Josh, do you?
Yeah.
I don't even remember why I did what I did.
Oh, God.
There was this... I was in a class that... The way that this classroom was set up, it was... they used it for... Half of it was the teaching side. The other half of it was a home ec. So they had these... It was Kent City, and they were cheap. They didn't have a lot of money, and they had these sprinklers, like, where it was like a pole that came down out of the ceiling, and it was like sizable. It wasn't like a normal sprinkler, but it was like stuck out like a foot and a half. And I was standing across the room talking to my teacher at her desk, and my desk was on the other side. And I don't know why I did this, but I went up and asked her a question, and everyone was kind of silently working on paperwork. And I decided to kind of like jog back at my chair, and I jumped up on the chair and then like jumped off of it. I don't know why, but when I did this, I cracked my head on the sprinkler thing and proceeded to, you know, go from, you know, in a jump standing up and down to being completely turning sideways, falling down, hitting my body, landing on the chair catapulting like up, like, you know, if you hit it hard enough, it like spin. So it like flew up in the air, and then it landed on me, and everyone proceeded to laugh their asses off. Even the teacher, who was like laughing at me. And she's like, I mean, I'm supposed to give you a detention for being so disruptive, but I feel like you've learned your lesson. She looks so
The cat just jumped up and hit the sprinkler, and now is trapped under Larry's
microphone.
Good kitty.
But yeah, like I just sat there, everyone's laughing. I mean, my forehead hurts like hell. Yeah, that's exactly what it was, you know, to hit my head, fall, land on the ground, and then have this chair land on me. And I mean, my friends are laughing at me, the teacher's laughing at me.
The most important part of that story was that it was half teaching, half home ec.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just ball busting.
Lord. When I was in sixth grade, I was on the bus, and I still remember this moment because it was like horrific. Because sixth grade, you're going into middle school. Mm-hmm. Everybody's
you
like,
already have you've yeah. got your in between
yeah.
body that's like
one
arm's longer than the other, and you're just yeah.
I'm waiting for my pubes to just shoot out of my my Jordache jeans. But anyway, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there on the bus, and all of a sudden, I had to sneeze, and I'm like, uh oh. And then I sneezed, and it was like, it was like I had a cold coming on.
Oh no, it was a shrapnel.
Shrapnel everywhere all over my face. No tissues. Nothing to wipe it on. So the only thing I could think to do is cover my face with my hand and just like try to keep my face away from everybody. But this was during the point where you get off the bus, they drop you off, all the kids are outside.
Oh yeah.
So I have to walk through my entire class body with like garbage pail kid face. And I'm straight lining it for the bathroom. But my stupid friend Sho walks up to me. He's part Japanese. This was an interesting name. So he walks up to me and he's like, he grabs my hand and he's like, oh my God, what is wrong with your face? You should not come to school with a big boogery face. So I beelined it for the bathroom and wiped that shit up. But nice. He did totally grab my hand and like,
ugh, that's horrible.
It was so bad because it was like, Sho, don't do that, dude.
God,
if I got my hand on my face and I'm
there's
beelining
a reason,
it,
yeah.
And I've got like, it's like I got a turtle head poking. Mm-hmm. Don't grab me and be like, let me analyze your face real quick. Oh, here's the girl that you really like. Here, make sure let's focus in on the boogies on your top lip. There.
Oh my God, you want to hear a real good boogie story?
Yeah.
The last thing, I promise. So, this was in elementary school, maybe first or second grade.
Mommy?
Like old enough to know better, but uh-oh, young enough that it's still sort of passable as a thing that a kid would do. Mm-hmm. There was a boy in my class. Mm. His name was John, and he smelled like spoiled milk.
Oh.
And he was legit. He was like the weird kid. Everyone knew that, like, oh, there's John.
It's actually a serial killer trait is mm-hmm. a lot of times they smell like spoiled milk.
Yeah.
No joke.
This boy, John, stole a spoon, a plastic spoon from the cafeteria, took it back to his desk, colored it green with a marker, and every booger that he picked, he put on this spoon until he had an entire spoon full of boogers.
Why? Like, what do you do with it at that point? Do you fling it like a...
Oh, no.
No.
You were like...
He did not.
He did. Once the spoon was full, he took a big old bite.
Spoon man! Come together with boogery spoon. That is the most disgusting thing we've ever said on this show.
Well, I would never. I might be able to sort of get close to topping that. I went to West Catholic High School, and I don't know. And there is a story. This happened like a couple years before I went there as a freshman. There was someone that was known as the Mad Shitter.
Okay. Now, and they have like a big hat on with like the...
No. Okay. Somebody all of a sudden, one day, somebody shits the sink and wrote on the mirror, the Mad Shitter strikes. And then apparently every week or so, it would happen in another bathroom. Oh, shit in the sink. The Mad Shitter strikes again.
Oh, wow.
It got to the point where they had teachers staking out the men's bathroom, like during in between classes, trying to catch this person. And it would happen again. It would happen time and time again. They could not catch this guy. And it got to the point where they just didn't know what to do. And finally, it got to the point where they had a suspect, someone who was like high on the list of suspects. After he graduated, it suddenly stopped. Oh. So they never caught the guy, but they sort of had an idea of who it was.
Oh,
but
no.
Like that was like, he was like a legend at that school. Like when that's like one of the first stories I heard when I started during my freshman year.
Could have easily been caught brown-handed.
Yes.
I can totally just imagine him like sitting down with his grandkids one day and he's just like, long ago when your grandpappy was young and his stool was
moved like a stream, you see.
Yes, you should see your grandfather. He shits in his sink like a cat.
Like, what did he do? Did he, like, just, you know, over to the sink and do it? Or did he do it in his hand or something?
I don't know.
Put it in the sink?
So many questions.
Like, really stand over the sink and poop? I mean, the sinks were kind of high back then, I think.
Like, the day he dies is just like, Grandpa strikes again.
You're going to put the toilet
paper. I letter sent to the school saying, yes, that was the mad shitter.
You're going to put the toilet paper roll at half mast.
Before he dies, he goes in the bathroom, shits in the sink one more time.
It's my last ride.
One for the road.
You either shit a hero or shit so long you become a villain. Something like that. Anyway, that's your Yahoo. Now, it's time to get into a verdict. One corner, five podcasters know and love and trust. We won't steer you wrong. We'll tell you, you know, the best place to get tacos. Mm. And if you're a Patreon member, we'll tell you about what foods are going to kill you pretty quick.
Mm. What tacos not to eat.
Yeah.
Chipotle.
Anyway, in the other corner, we have Andrew Kehoe. An angry
asshole.
Now,
that's good hope.
Kehoe died by self-triggered suicide. But I'm curious, if we had this person in court and we were the judge, jury, and executioner of this man, what kind of punishment would we give to this man?
Death penalty.
Death penalty. Josh says death penalty.
Absolutely. He planned it out. He planned this. Enough to kill all these kids, and he wanted to kill more, and he wanted to kill the whole town. Yeah, this, and he succeeded in killing a bunch of people. Death penalty.
Yeah, right, I'm thinking Michigan had the death penalty back then, unless this would have risen to a federal case.
I don't think it would have been a federal case. It would have been.
No, it would have been.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think if it was like a terrorist thing, then maybe, but it's not, and it was just strictly for the community. So, April, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Death penalty is the only logical, like, I would like to say, like, yeah, punish him by making him clean up after the mad shitter, or, you know, like work in a toddler nursery supervised so he doesn't kill anyone else, but he can just answer why questions for 10 hours a day until he slowly loses every last shred of sanity he has. But yeah, I think death penalty is the only appropriate. I mean, I think
he's a monster.
He is.
He would have been a serial killer, I think.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Death penalty was banned in Michigan in 1963. Oh. But there's only been one execution ever carried out in the state of Michigan.
So it's possible he would have just been on some sort of like life imprisonment thing. Yeah.
And that was actually a federal execution, so it wasn't even state done. Okay.
Interesting. Could have been the only state ever. You never know.
Well, I want to say you can, you guys can all vote death penalty if you want. So, Larry, what do you say?
Death penalty.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go against the grain on this, although I do think he would deserve the death penalty just because my views are there's so many people that are executed that haven't really committed the crime that they're being executed for, project and stuff. I'd have to say life in prison just to be consistent with my beliefs, even though, he probably should be killed. But, you know, maybe that would happen in jail.
I agree with Andy to an extent, but in this case, I would probably go death penalty as well. I think Andrew, I think in some ways he killing himself, although it sucks because he took other victims. I'm glad that he died during the makings, the horrors that he created. But again, like, I would have loved for him to see his day in court too. Mm-hmm. And for him to have to listen
to giving him some fame too, you know, some more infamy, you know, that would, you know, so in a way I'm glad he did kill himself because he could have, you know, just imagine the press he got and what he could have done with that, you know,
the kind of monster. Yeah. This show,
people would be celebrating. I mean, you know, how these people get all obsessed with serial killers and, you know, mass murderers.
Well, especially because of how politically charged he was.
Yeah.
Well, one thing to, I guess, take into account with Andy's approach, which I didn't even think about, death penalty, you know, it'd be clean, probably a shot to the head. He's dead, right? I mean, I feel like this guy really needs to suffer, though, because he was a piece of shit and killed his wife. Let's not forget about her and the horses.
Well, she was nagging him, so, you know. Just kidding.
If he was in prison, you have to imagine if he wasn't killed in prison, he would have had the shit kicked out of him.
Oh yeah, you kill kids. The other prisoners don't like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he would have got prison justice pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I want to say this part of the reason this fell out of the public's like domain so quickly, and why I think it got shoved into the back, was the Lindbergh baby kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
This happened very soon after this, and people completely forgot about it.
Yeah, Lindbergh was he was like Jay-Z back in the day, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right. Totally. So anyway, that is our verdict. Plugs?
Plugs? What?
Our favorite time to plug a new show on the Beer City Media Network. Indeed. So let's talk about that one more time. Tell them where they can go, Andy. Tell them where they can listen, what the name of the show is.
All right. The name of the show is Latest 80s, where I will be playing the latest music from your favorite alternative and pop artists from the 80s. So if you want to hear the new A-ha or the new Billy Idol, listen to the show. You'll be able to hear it. Larry, where would they find this right now? I'm not 100% sure.
You can find it on Podomatic.com. You can also find it on iTunes and on Spotify.
Spotify is the ticket. It seems to be where a lot of our listeners personally go to. So
you can go to Podomatic, get the RSS feed, and put it in your whatever you use for your podcast, and subscribe to it there.
Rate and review that show too, please. We want to grow awareness to Andy's stuff, and he's a great guy. So we will definitely have him on the podcast again in the future. Maybe next time we'll do some real hearty conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
It's always fun. I want to do an Epstein episode eventually, but I don't know how much we're going to find out. That's like the gold mine right now.
And the Clintons.
And the Clintons. Coming soon.
So, yeah, if we disappear, you know why.
I just want to know on the record, I don't think the Clintons had anything to do with Epstein's death. I mean, suicide.
That's right. We had nothing to do with it, did we?
27 times? On the plane?
Coincidence.
Oh, we flew on the plane 27 times.
Yeah, it's scary. Anyway. Yeah,
that's a whole other show.
That is another show. Indeed. So anyway, that's your episode for this week. It's another week, another episode of Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad bear?
Oh, yeah. Just real quick. Latest Days is out the first Tuesday of every month.
That's
just
right.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I forgot to ask that. Thank you, Andy. Nice. Appreciate it. Well, thanks for being on the show, Andy.
Yep. Great being on the show as usual.
And we'll have you again. And that has been it. This has been your episode. We'll see you next week in another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one, guys.
Okay, wake up in the morning to the clear blue sky. Turn up the music when I hop in the ride. The windows down, let the whole world see. Can't nobody rock it like little old me. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I got my trucks and my dickies and I put it on black. Banging Sinatra in a flat Cadillac. My old lady leaning out the whole window. Everybody looking when we walking slow. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Show, but three to be a legend, even if I'm cold. I ain't chasing nothing, you gon' have to catch me. And if you wanna taste, you gon' have to pay a fee. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. All my molly ringworms and my little scarecrows. When they hear my record, well, they all hit the floor. Baby strike a pose, come up in the front row. The homies in the back, get the hats to roll.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.